Let us bow in prayer. Eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by thy grace, our Father, help us to know thy presence in power, wisdom, and grace as we turn our minds and hearts toward thee today. In full consciousness of our weaknesses and our proneness to depart from the way that thou hast revealed, the way that we know, we would confess before thee and rededicate ourselves penitently to thy will for us and reaffirm our purpose today to walk in the light of thy truth. We thank thee, Father, for the fellowship of faith that is here among us. We thank thee for the motivation behind our coming. We thank thee for our response, limited though it is, to the guidance of thy Spirit in the work that we are trying to do. And we pray this morning that there may be nothing among us to mar our fellowship in the Spirit, that none of us may permit himself to become in the midst an influence that would dim our testimonies as servants of thine, and that would weaken our own characters before thee. We pray that in this hour of worship, we may find in our hearts blessings from thee in the midst of our difficulties, personal difficulties, our problems, our uncertainties, that we may go out of this place with renewed faith and hope and love. Be with all thy people everywhere today, and grant that in the darkness and the emptiness of much of this world's life, thy people may be shining lights and play their part in the redemption of the world of our day. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I want to read a passage from the second chapter of Philippians. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own, to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Somewhere Paul has spoken about his care for all the churches. And he added that as the last of many trials that burdened his shoulders and hearts and heart. What his concern was, we find in his epistles. For one church, his concern was about pagan ideas that were infiltrating into Christian thought and life, so that the gospel became no gospel. In another church, he was concerned about the resurgence of Jewish legalism that damned the Christian's vision of God and all sense of direct relation with him. In the Philippian church, he was concerned about something that had to do not at all with heresy or with legalism, but rather with the expression of the Christian spirit in the community of faith, and the denial of the faith by the conduct. And in that, Paul was speaking to our condition. In Philippi, in Corinth, in Ephesus, and in the Christian community here in Wake Forest and on this campus, the perils that beset our living together are real. And the letdown from the high Christian level of conduct is a temptation for every one of us. Paul has something to say about the perils that beset every Christian community. I have just read to you something of what he said. And we perceive in the very little space that he gave to it that the things that tend to beset us, whoever we are an evil brood. Pride, personal ambition, jealousy, ill will, self-centeredness over against our brothers and over against the world that Christ came to save. The enthronement of the ego so that we become central in our thinking. And by our selfishness, that we do not like to call selfishness, we are in danger of breaking the unity of community. We are in danger of dimming the witness of the community as the world observes it, and in danger of making shipwreck of our own lives. Now, Paul was talking about such things. He does not enlarge upon them. He thought too much of the Philippian church. And he felt that there would be a certain sensitiveness among them if only the dangers to which they were yielding, and they were, or he would not have said all this. He felt they were sensitive enough to see the point if he would only suggest the peril. But what he had in mind does come out in his appeal to them. Be of the same mind. Now, he did not mean by that they were to think exactly alike and have identical opinions on this and that. It is hard to say just the one thing that Paul meant, but he was talking about something behind our judgments and our opinions, however various they may be, something behind that was the same way of thinking in the world, the same basic assumptions concerning God and man and life that serve as a basis for all our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions. Be of the same mind. Something of what he meant is reflected in his reference to the mind of Christ, in which he was not talking about theology. He was not talking about the atonement, but Christ's own approach to life, Christ's own mental disposition that led to that wonderful drama of redemption here in Jesus Christ. Have this mind in you, the same mind, the same unself-regarding mind, the mind behind all. Now, Paul was saying to these Philippians, and he would say to us, in your Christian community, seek that same way of thinking. Find that basic unity which will make the community one. The same love. The love that's in one should be in the other. And they knew the meaning of love as self-giving for others. In full accord, a spirit that will eliminate discord, that will mean that our faces are toward the same goal, that our purposes are one in Jesus Christ. And Paul repeats it, of one mind. The thing that is central in your personality, it's almost purpose when we think of the example of Christ. Have the same mind in you. Now, Paul goes on just very briefly to give some exhortations against certain things, against selfishness and pride, against esteeming oneself better than others, against looking to one's own interests and not to the interests of others. But his great appeal was in his reference to the mind of Christ. There, he indicated what sort of mind he meant. And you know that wonderful passage. You've studied it as theology. Paul is presenting it here as the movement of life in Christ and by Christ, who counted not equality of God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself out of the glory that he had with the Father before the world was, to become a man. And as a man, identify himself with all mankind and become a servant in the midst of the world. Paul speaks of his humility. He humbled himself. A mind humble enough to give up the glory, to live in the midst of men as the slave that man was. Humble enough to serve. And faithful enough to the reality of God to obey him utterly. Paul says, to the point of laying down his life. Neither life nor death could prevail upon him to disobey God, not even the death on a cross. Have this mind in you, which was also, which you have in Christ Jesus. Paul is talking to a Christian community about its life together. And then he goes on to say, therefore, and you can spell that out for yourselves, therefore, you obey as you have obeyed. That has been your objective, but somehow these things have crept under your doors and they have affected your thinking. They have turned your purposes. They have made you self-centered, which is the very opposite of what we have in Christ. Therefore, take up afresh the task that's yours and nobody else's. Work out your salvation. Not work in order that you may be saved at the last. I think we should not ask of Paul that he speak absolutely every time he uses a word. And much of Paul's speech is in context. And if you'll read on, Paul, you will find that you can really equate his word salvation with his other word, new life. Work out your new life. You've seen how Christ worked out his life, with what mind, with what spirit, and with what success. But it was success by the way of humility and obedience to God unto the uttermost. You work out your salvation. I cannot tell you how you should work it out. just what you should do today and tomorrow. But I can tell you in the words of Paul that it ought to be done with fear and trembling. This living the Christian life in community, with fear and trembling, not that we shall go to hell, but with fear that we shall fail in that which we know. Fear that we shall so relate ourselves to the community that it will cease to be a community. Fear lest we violate the very heart of the Christian life in the world. Fear that we shall become proud and looking to our own interests. Fear lest we should take life into our own hands and not obey the will of God. By refusing to make the will of God the norm for our living. Fear and trembling because the ground of the community is holy ground. We must remember the prayer of the Lord that they may be one, even as we are one. And Paul's last word about it is this: it is a task for which you are responsible, but it is not a lonely task. Remember every day that God is working in you and with you. It is His grace, His will. God works in you. To what end? That you may will His will, and that you may do His good pleasure. This is godliness that becomes every member of a Christian community. Help us, we pray thee today, to give ourselves afresh to this task, that we may work out our life in Christ, that we may bring it nearer and nearer to fullness and finish by giving ourselves to our fellows in love, and to thee in obedience. In thine own name we pray, O Christ.